1. Hey, level one users, you are listening to the Level Up Podcast. I am your host, Turk, and with me today is Remdog and Afro. Say hi, guys.
What's going on? What's going on?
Yes, yes. What's up?
All right, so we're going to be jumping right into the latest news. Some pretty big news out of Microsoft is, of course, the Kinect pricing. We finally found out today that Kinect and is going to be $149.99. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, everyone expected it to be that price, or even like really around that price. I mean, they will actually it will be bundled with Kinect Adventures, which you've been seeing a lot about, which will include like the Ricochet game, and then like it's like I think it's like 20 or 40 like games that you can play. So I guess with that, you know, you would have to weigh it out if that's worth that like that.
Well, I mean, I think, well, first of all, the price came as no surprise, really, since it was, you know, everywhere was saying, you know, $149.99. And I think everyone was also kind of expecting for it to be some sort of bundle with another game. So I guess, you know, Kinect Adventures makes sense. It seems like it's going to have a lot of appeal to casual gamers.
Yeah, I think it'll do everything that it needs to in terms of, you know, I mean, for the push in the beginning, so it'll show everybody like, oh, you know, I mean, the camera does this and the camera does this. Nothing really crazy. It's just like that very casual game feel while you're playing it. So that'll, you know, I mean, it'll come across and it'll do everything that I guess it needs to do.
Yeah, and at least with the actual full Kinect Adventures game, it doesn't feel too much. It doesn't feel too expensive, I guess, since this Kinect Adventures was going to retail at like $49 anyway.
No, I mean, what's funny is the people that wanted to talk about, or people that want to talk about how, you know, I mean, like, oh, $149.99, that's expensive. Because even I said that, like, when, you know, I mean, when it started to spring up, like, or even before that, it was like, how much is this camera really going to cost? And people were like, $149.99 or whatever. I was like, that's expensive, you know what I mean, considering the fact that the Wii only cost, it's like $200 or $250, you know what I mean, before. And that's that entire experience. So it's like for a peripheral, then you would equal getting the system. This is how much it would, you know what I mean, it would cost so much more. Which, I mean, we did find out that there is a new Xbox 360, which is a 4 GB Xbox 360, of their new model, and you could actually get a bundle with that, with the Kinect and that, for $299. So you inevitably save $50 because this new system is actually going to be priced at $200. So it'll actually come with the Wi-Fi and everything else. It's just the system is just 4 GB. Everything to, I guess, kind of get Kinect ready and everything you need to with the new Xbox, the new NXC and everything else. So I mean, I think it's worth it, even with the $299, even with the $149.99. The big thing is that you look at the stuff that we spend money on, which is like plastic peripherals, like stuff with Rock Band and Guitar Hero and stuff, and the entire set can cost you $150 to $250, and that is like in a span of a year and a half to 2 years, and then they come out with new ones. So this is a different look at a different kind of peripheral, which is supposed to span a bunch of different games. Same thing with the Move. So actually, this came out in a recent like story, but it should be justified that way.
So you said you kind of had a change of heart before. It was like $150, and you were like, oh, that's kind of expensive. And now you're like, eh, that's not too bad now, I guess.
It's true. I mean, if you want to look at it in like the span of time of how long I'm going to be playing this for, if I'm buying one peripheral now, that'll let me, you know what I mean, expand my library for another 15 titles in the next 3 or so years. That's definitely have made its purchased already. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've bought back what I wanted to from, you know what I mean, from the peripheral itself.
Yeah. And the bundle with the 4 gig 360, that's a pretty decent deal. I mean, I think that's going to be one of the major like sellers for the rest of the year, or when Kinect is launched.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely works. It's worth it. I mean, yeah, if you want to expand to a 250 gig hard drive or do something. I mean, that's why the thing is really 4 gigs, because automatically the system now supports USB. So USB flash memory. So you can get a 32 gig flash thing for as much as you willing to spend if you can find it at as cheap of a price as you want. And pop that in and they go, you know what I mean, there you go. And it's bigger than, you know what I mean, our previous 20 gig models that we used to have in the past. So
yeah.
There's more options.
And I think there's going to be a lot of casual people buying the 4 gig 360. So I have a feeling they might not even need to expand it even beyond that. They're just going to be using it for like save files and, you know, just like little stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I definitely think so.
One thing that's not explained is that Kinect games are going to retail for the usual price. Like how much we're paying now for regular games.
Well, no.
Games are retailing for a cheaper price.
Well, I think they did come out and say that the first party Kinect games are going to be 50.
I think they're 60.
No, it's true actually. It might vary, but they did come out and say like Dance Central and stuff, which is solely from MTV and Harmonix Games and all that, that's $50. So there's like a bunch of games that are actually going to be $50.
Yeah. So like Joyride's going to be 50.
Yeah. Like so Dance Central stuff, that's $50. I mean, yeah, you might see, I mean, it'll depend on how involved the series. Like I won't know what the Sonic game will be. I don't know exactly when that comes out, but how much that is, and then some other games. But I do know, yeah, like the first party and even Dance Central and stuff, that's all like $50.
Yeah.
And so the whole Joyride, Kinect Sports, you're saying that's all gonna be 50. And
yeah.
Dance Central is gonna be 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly believe it's gonna be 60.
It's not. They can't. It's the story is out. Like it's not like a made up thing. It's the story is out from Microsoft that Dance Central is $50, and then Joyride and stuff is like $50. Whether they change it is different. But the story.
If they change it, then they're changing it from 60 to something else. Because from what I've checked, it's 60.
Yeah, but that's what I mean is that this all recently came out, like in terms of the Kinect pricing, the bundle and everything. All these sites have not updated because I've even checked them myself. They actually are only rolling themselves out to the new schemes as of yesterday, or you know what I mean? Pay it possibly a little bit sooner, but even not all of them are done, you know what I mean, are rolled out because you could actually start the pre-orders for the Kinect bundles and like the new 360 and everything with GameStop, Amazon.
Amazon is like probably the best point of reference. I think there's about like 4 or 5 Kinect games on the homepage when you type in Kinect, and most of them are 50. I'm actually on there right now. Looks like that fitness game is going to be 60.
Yeah. So I mean, I can't account for everything. I just do know that there's some things that they did come out with saying that it will be 50. And I mean, you'll see that normally. You'll see some games that are 50. I think the ones that are more casual than others, and then the other ones that have taken more work to do. I guess I'm not sure about the fitness game. I mean, there's even a Zumba game. I don't know, but. They probably will vary. And it's hard. It's tough to try to sell a game at $60 for a new peripheral that you're already spending $150 for. So already, you're totaling the cost. It's gonna be a hard sell for some, but we'll see. I mean, it depends on how they roll it out.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be there's gonna be some tough times in the beginning for certain games with the Kinect, just because, you know, when people get Kinect Adventures, you know, they're gonna want to, you know, play the hell out of that game first before, you know, moving on probably.
I think a lot of people, let's say this is like a casual gamer, right? New to the whole thing. Is this bundle, is this going to be packaged with the 250 hard drive or the 4 gig hard drive?
4 gig.
The 4 gig. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why you would even waste your time on the 4 gig hard drive for 360. If it was a Wii, I can understand having a small, you know, storage. But for, you know, for a system like that, you're going to want to expand.
So you are, the bundle is not meant for people like us. The bundle is meant for a casual player. And I mean, if the casual player is going to go buy the Kinect and they don't have a 360, then you're straight. If they want something that's going to be for their kids and they probably have a 360 or whatever, I mean, they could either toss the one that they have and get this one because they know they don't install games and the whole thing, or, you know what I mean, that system gets sold and then they get this one. You know what I mean? It's not for the people like us that would automatically want to upgrade, because then you're spending the extra money anyway, so it doesn't entirely make sense, but it really depends on how you look at it. I mean,
I was just gonna say, it's the same people that have been buying, you know, Xbox arcades, you know, like the $199 arcade version.
Yeah,
it's going to be the same people basically.
Which, if you compare it in price, this is an awesome deal. Like, just even the 360 alone, the $200 4 gigs, it's compared to an arcade, this thing is awesome. Like, had this come out 2 years ago, I would have been living with two. I don't know if these things die like the way. We don't know yet if they die the way all the other consoles did. Because, hell, maybe I wouldn't have had to have bought another two arcade systems to keep up with my habit.
I feel like the people, if they're going to go with that bundle, I believe they're going to shortchange themselves in the long run. Because if they're going to go with that bundle, even if it's just a camera, from what I've experienced with the camera, you know, I say give it some time. Like, you know, the games that come out, it's going to be Wii with HD, like, you know, it's not anything that we're going to be too wild about. So if this is strictly for the casual gamer, you're going to come out with the 4 gig system. I say instead of the 4, they should just like came out with a new 20, if that's the case, because you want to build off of this, unless you want to build and then have them purchase a brand new hard drive.
The only way you're really going to get a new hard drive is if you know you're going from 4 to 250. If you're going 250, you're getting a hard drive. If not, I mean, they literally made this. It isn't as short a plan as you think. Like, they made this, you know what I mean, the options available smart, because they knew that they would get, you know what I mean, they would give you like a 4 gigabyte. They rolled out the USB support around PAX East. And so now, like, if you wanted to expand even shorter, you could do anything from 16 gig USB drives to 32 gig USB drives. And you're straight. You're golden with that.
Does it take 32? I thought it only takes 16.
I'm not even 100%. I thought it was up to 32.
Because I know in the, you know, the previous models, I know it's up to 16. I don't know if they've improved it for the new system, but I know with the old system, I know it's up to 16.
Well, it would be a software thing, but I thought it was 32. Regardless, it's like you buy a USB drive and it's a lot cheaper than buying a hard drive. And I mean, that's the kind of thing that you would be doing. It's like,
That could be your new 20. That could be your new 20, yeah.
I see the $200 systems selling like hotcakes. I actually think that those will sell. I don't know about the bundle seems like it'll work. If they do it correctly, it'll definitely work. But the 360 itself, $200, that thing is gonna go.
Now, you mean the newer system, or are you talking about
the $200 4 gigabyte one, the one that's gonna come out at the end of this? by itself, I think that thing is gonna sell.
All right, but then again, you also have you have people buying it because, you know, hey, it's a new system. You have people buying it because my old one broke.
Yeah,
so many reasons.
Well, that's gonna happen with like every new console or every new reboot to a console.
And that's a lot of people.
I've been fortunate enough, I guess. I have never had a system break on me besides my 360 twice. And even so, like, I'm not going to, like, go out there and just buy a whole new bundle just for the heck of it. I would rather just wait and have them ship me a fixed one. Refurbished, whichever one it's called. I don't know, like, this whole...
Well, you have an old console. That thing with the hard drive is totally different anyway. You would need to do the whole cable thing and then, like, convert. Yeah, yeah. It's not for you. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's not for you. So we should, like, get that out of the...
I'm not talking about it's not for me. I'm just talking about if you want to build with your new customers, your new casual customers, because that's the whole future plan, right? If you want to build, I mean, now that you bring up the extra 16 gigabyte, I mean, yeah, the extra 16 gigabyte flash drive thing, I can see that working. Because to me, the problem will be storage if you want to build. So if that's what
you're into, that's what I mean. Like, this is not gonna be for the people that want. I mean, for that you get the $300 one, and that's you call it a day. It's not a big deal in terms of you making this, you know, post-apocalyptic decision for what system you want. You want 250 gig hard drive, you get the $300 one. You want something that's gonna be more casual, then you get the $200. If you want a complete casual thing, you get the one with the Kinect, and you save yourself $50. That's what it's for. So I think that's what that is.
It's really just the bundle is there just to, like, you know, push you. And it's really, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that are just going to, you know, look at this thing. It's going to be like, oh, $299, I get all this crap. All right, I'll take it for my kid, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
All right. So those are those prices. That's what we feel.
So
I guess, what is it? The next topic you wanna start?
You wanna touch it? Yeah, you wanna touch upon this? Looks like the CEO of GameStop, Paul Raines, he basically spoke about turning GameStop into kind of making it a game portal and having somewhat of a Netflix type of service. Remdog, do you know more about this?
Yeah, I mean, so I heard that in a recent interview, I don't know who the interview was with, that he wants to turn GameStop into an everything gaming portal for where gamers can go and do everything in terms of buying their games, not only physical media but actually like online stuff where you would buy online games and everything else. I mean, it does little things like that, but he really wants to turn it into, like, the way they have their streaming service, he wants to make it where you just, a gamer goes for everything, and they won't have to go anywhere else.
I don't know if I would want to go to GameStop for everything.
That's
true.
There's
a lot of gamers out there that are already kind of, like, anti-GameStop a little bit.
Very much. Yeah, I do know some people firsthand.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So some of them are even on this podcast right now. But
we don't talk about that, but...
No, but, I mean, with the whole Netflix thing, so is that going to basically be... is that going to compete against Gamefly, or is it not quite as robust? Did he mention that?
Well, I mean, what's funny is how he didn't mention things like Gamefly and stuff. He really only mentioned Netflix, so I don't know if he wasn't trying to mention his main competitors, but he definitely he wants to the growth that he's gotten and the fact that he knows that, you know, I mean, what people would spend on used games versus new games and everything. He made it very apparent in an interview, and he actually talked about combating dismissing some of the things the way EA does their whole online play pass thing, which I actually think is a total crock. But, you know, if you buy the game used, that one-time only code to play online had probably already been used, so you can't play online with the game, which would give people the incentive to buy the game new as opposed to used. But it's true that he mentioned that what someone would have, you know what I mean, $40, you know what I mean, someone wouldn't have $60 probably for a new game, you know what I mean, plus tax, but they would probably have maybe $40. And you know what I mean, another time that they would have money, it would be, yeah, another $40 or whatever. So they would have two used games as opposed to probably one new game. And it's true, like, you know what I mean, gamers don't have, I shouldn't say all gamers, but a lot of gamers don't, you know what I mean, just roll in money that they could just buy new games. But the way he wants to make everything work, I don't know if it exactly would work the same way, like that he thinks about. Like, I wouldn't want to go to GameStop for everything. If I like, you know what I mean, if I went to GameStop for anything. but I don't know how he's really trying to. It's not like this is something overnight. It's something that he's been, you know what I mean, kind of working on, and he wants to do something with this. You know what I mean? There's no knowledge of when something like this would roll out or what it would completely be about, but he definitely wants to take the physical media of stuff out of the equation. Not fully, but a lot of it.
What I think it probably comes back down to is just, you know, GameStop worrying about, you know, are they going to be obsolete in like 5 to 10 years? And I guess this is just, you know, them kind of thinking ahead, you know, thinking ways that they could expand and, you know, survive if, you know, consoles ever migrate away from physical media.
This is very true. This is very true. Because, I mean, even when you have things like Netflix, because Netflix is the next step has been the next step for people that couldn't afford probably buying a couple of new games, but they could rent a couple of games, you know what I mean, play those, return it, and you know what I mean, like, and then get other ones. And yeah, if they liked it enough, they can buy it with at a lot cheaper price than GameStop. But yeah, like, even with that, Gamefly has a thing where you can kind of play casual games on their thing too, which I could kind of see them going in a direction where they would eliminate physical media when you're even trying to rent a game and stuff, something in the future. But yeah, GameStop is like, it seems like it would be more dated than everything. So it would need to keep up with the time somehow.
I'll say one thing. The like, Gamefly definitely took some business away from them. So,
without a doubt.
So if this is their way of keeping up, or if they want to like have some type of service like Gamefly where they can offer the games. What I'll be curious about really is if they're able to get their hands on more DLC, because GameStop, they already get their own special deals with DLC for certain games.
That's true.
That at certain times have made me question, do I really want to get the game that I want with this extra DLC, or do I want to pay a cheaper price? So, I don't know, like sometimes, you know, you weigh out the pros and cons, but most of the time you don't. You know, most people that play games, they don't really want to go into GameStop all the time because, you know, you really want to deal with the people for the most part that work there. And if this happens and, you know, you have your GameStop is your one and only or your main biggest source, you don't want to go in there all the time.
Well, I do want to mention one thing. This stuff that I'm referring to, or we're referring to in terms of the GameStop being a game, it's actually, he's only talking about the website. So it's like the website, he wants to make it a giant game portal where games can go for everything. So if it's like you're buying games, you know what I mean, it comes to you, whatever, you pick it up after purchasing it, you know what I mean, things in terms of downloading a game, it being able to play on, you know what I mean, whatever console, whatever.
Is he talking about making the website more efficient, or making the whole entire...
It's an entire overhaul where it's
like
an entire
stores,
portal.
Like stores, too.
Like what?
Like the stores, too, are encompassing this overhaul. Or is it
almost
just the website?
almost like you think about, like, maybe he would to put it something in a better term, it's like GameStop being Netflix, GameFly, and Steam put into one system, where you would buy games, you could download and play games from there, and you can possibly rank games depending on, you know what I mean, how he wants to do it. Plus, there's a casual section, and then there'll also be news and stuff for the everyday gamer. Like, he wants to make it all and everything thing. And I mean, I can't quote, you know what I mean, everything from the interview and everything, because I don't know exactly what's truth, but that's some of the stuff that's been, like, mentioned.
I mean, I can't blame him if he wants to keep up, or if he wants to, you know, get those people that have GameFly memberships. But hey, it remains to be seen. Like, you know, we still have plenty of time, you know, for whatever plan that he's coming up with. And right now, I'm happy with GameStop. I mean, I go, you know, I'm happy with GameStop the way it is. I'm not a big supporter of it, but I've had no problems with it. I just go in, make my purchase, and, you know, get out of there before they try to offer me something else.
As fast as possible.
Yeah. I mean, and it helps if you know people. Like, I go to the people that I know, and it's, like, really, like, three. So I wouldn't go to some random GameStop most of the time. I really don't. I don't go to some random GameStop and look for something. I go in, I know what I want, and I get out. Like, well, if it's someone that I know, I speak to them briefly, and then that's it.
Well, I mean, not everyone knows someone. So, I mean, for those that don't, it's like,
it gets annoying. Like, before I knew these people, GameStop was really annoying. Yeah, really annoying. And especially those times, like, if, let's say you did not open the game, because this happened to me twice. You did not open the game. You come in and you're like, and you have the receipt, and you're like, can I have my money back, please? Like, you know, I purchased the wrong game, or this is, you know, something's wrong. I didn't want it. Can I have my money back? And they will go through this whole list of, oh, why don't you get this game? Why don't you do this? Why don't you, like, just hold the money here and, you know, just pick up something else? No, I just want my money back.
I just want my money. I don't want to pre-order anything. I don't want a strategy guide.
Yeah, you know, I don't want store credit. I just want my money back. And it's like, when they try to give you the money back, you try to take it from them, they're still holding on to it. You know, and then you gotta snatch it away from them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's GameStop.
GameStop's cool.
Yeah.
I won't really mention my quotes for GameStop. Let's just say GameStop's customer service is not for everyone. So
yeah, that's like a special podcast on its own, man.
My advice, really, if go to a frequent GameStop and just be cool with one person. That's it. Just be cool with one person, and you should be all right. Don't go to frequent GameStops, because you're gonna get hit with so many different people. And it's just going to annoy you. It really is.
There goes advice, tips, and information from Afro. He does this on a weekly basis. He has his
own. I wouldn't say a weekly basis. Yeah,
I'm not even talking about here. Don't you have your own comedy show in NYC? I would think so.
I thought you
do this for a living too.
Like I said, just be cool with at least one person. Like, I have a few, very few, like three to be exact. And that's it. Like, I'm fortunate. You can say that. I'm fortunate.
Nice. All right. Well, moving right along.
GameFly is still the king.
I'll agree with that. All right.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay. Moving along the podcast here. Let's talk about some latest releases. In particularly, we have Singularity and Crackdown 2. Now, Singularity, I put the review up a few days ago, and Crackdown 2, I believe, was done by Remdog, is that correct?
Yes, and that's going up very soon.
All right, so I guess I'll start with mine, Singularity. I mean, if you read my review, you pretty much know what I thought about it, but just to kind of give you, I guess, a brief rundown, Singularity is... It has some pretty cool ideas. Now, I don't know if you guys know about it or not, But basically, you can manipulate time. You can age things, and you can make things younger. Now, that sounds That sounds really cool on paper.
Yes, it does. So,
but like but, individually, right? Not like on a.
You don't send the world back in time, but you actually make certain objects go into the future, okay. Into the past. So in other words, like you see a padlock there, and if you want, you can fast forward time so the padlock, you know, deteriorates into rust.
It's like rusty, yeah.
Yeah, and it falls apart. It falls apart basically. Or if you want, you could do the reverse. Like you could take a crate that was like broken apart, and you know you can turn back time and to when it was a full box.
This sounds awesome. I'm sold.
Yeah, you know, see, that's the problem though. That's about as exciting as it gets. And the thing is, there is no in between. It's just like, you know, you go there, make something new, make something old. You know, it's just like, it's just one extra layer over, you know, find key, open door, you know, type of thing. So, I mean, and the effect does look cool. And the idea is cool, but it's just not executed that well, as well as you would hope it is.
All right, well, I mean, I know there's multiplayer and stuff. Does any of that stuff work out?
Actually, there's no time manipulation in multiplayer.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I don't know. The multiplayer is so bare bones. There's only like two modes, I think. It really feels like it was just kind of thrown in like the last few months. And Singularity is really meant to be a single player game.
Hence the name.
Yeah, hence the name. There you go.
Well, I mean, the game had promise. It's just some of its execution wasn't.
Yeah, like, to me it seems like if the developer had like maybe like an extra year to develop it, I don't know how long it took to make this game, but it seemed like they just didn't have enough resources to really make like, you know, this really incredible experience like BioShock 1 level experience. And it, you know, at the end of the day, it kind of becomes like an above average game basically.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I mean
if you want to look at something new, I guess you can take a look at it, but it's not as new.
It's definitely worth checking out as far as like renting goes if you want to gamefly it, whatever. I would only suggest buying it if you really really have nothing else like going on right now and you're looking
really
for
hate Call of Duty.
Yeah, you really hate Call of Duty, which I'm sure there's plenty of people by now. Yeah, you can check this out. It's different. It's definitely different than, you know, the typical shooter. But there's enough of you know, the tried and true shooter gameplay that people won't feel alienated. So it tries to mix it all up, and it comes out somewhat decent, but it's nothing to go crazy about.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So what did you think of Crackdown 2 so far?
All right, so I've been playing Crackdown 2 for quite a while. The review is actually gonna go up really soon, and it's funny, but the game is catered to multiplayer. Now, when you play the game in terms of its single player experience, like, or I should say the story mode, and you play it with three other people, it's like bliss. Like, you can have a lot of fun. A lot of fun doing nothing, or a lot of fun doing everything, or a lot of fun doing things in between. But if you play that game by yourself, it's not what it's cracked up to be at all. I mean,
no pun intended.
In a lot of ways, it does kind of seem like it takes a back step from Crackdown 1, which is weird. If the game took a certain amount of time to make. I mean, I don't know exactly what it was. The world is pretty much the same. They change visuals here and there to cater the style of the fact that the game is 10 years. The world is 10 years later. But there's not a lot to it. It's just like they added in the infested or whatever, the zombie. The zombie outbreak and everything, which is really cool. You take a car, you mow down a bunch of zombies. It actually is really cool to do stuff like that. You play with a lot of people. You play with, like, a couple people, co-op online, all well and fun. They have the one organization which you fight instead of, like, the little small organizations from part one. I mean, you do that stuff, you do anything with more than yourself, and good time is gonna be had. But you play, yeah, you play stuff by yourself, and you really don't realize that you're playing like the sequel to the game that really surprised people when it came out, back in the day, 2007 or something. So it's very strange. And then, I mean, the game has multiplayer too. But the multiplayer is very like you can kind of dismiss it. Like what is cool about the multiplayer is that it can get very chaotic and things look very crazy. But they cut off sections in the city, like little like maps and stuff like that. So I guess a lot of people are fighting. A bad thing about the multiplayer, it is very chaotic, and you kind of don't know what's going on for a lot of the stuff, depending on what you do. Some of the stuff seems kind of quirky too, the way you kind of, when you want to ground stop something, when you want to try to grab a ledge. But that all goes back to the mechanics in the game and some of the stuff they didn't entirely fix. You play that game with, if you know you have a couple people that you're going to play that game with, game is great. Game is a lot of fun. Jumping around, being your own Superman while other people are doing it too. The new wing suit, so you can kind of glide and come up. Everything is cool when you're doing it with multiplayer. You kind of just forget everything else exists. But when you play the game by yourself, you notice everything. Like you notice everything that's wrong. If you were a player of the first game, if you weren't, then I guess it's a new experience to you. So I mean, you could pretty much play that game. But it does seem more hollow than part one does when you play it by yourself. So, yeah.
So basically, it's get some friends or don't bother.
Yeah, yeah. And if you had the intention to play with friends, but you're not and you're playing that game, I think you might go into a mild depression. So I wouldn't dare to do that.
You'll just be the loneliest superhero cop in the city.
Yeah, yeah. At that point, if you were a hero, you'll definitely become a villain.
You're just throwing
out of
cars
sheer,
at
out people. Of sheer boredom.
You're just throwing cars at innocent people. Like, you all bore me.
Yeah,
this city sucks.
It's like everything sucks. My situation here sucks. Yeah, no. So
I'll take it all out on you.
Yeah. The only other thing I mentioned that I actually was kind of let down with in the game was. The real big thing in part one, when you gained a good amount of levels with the racing, when you get in a agency car or even certain cars or whatever, the car would kind of transform into this big thing. They did away with that. The game that's not in the game.
That was like one of the coolest aspects.
Yeah, it does. Like, you don't transform any vehicle. You kind of just have those vehicles separately.
Oh yeah, only the agency vehicles did it, and it's based on your driving skill.
Yeah, and it's like you hear going like it would like power up, like you're kind of just like transforming. That doesn't exist. That you don't even get bored of that in part one. So how could they even move it? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to be said with this game and how long the game took to develop and what the final product is, but. I mean, you'll see a lot of more. You'll see what my impressions were in the review when it comes up.
All right, cool. Let's not give it all away then. Yeah. All right, cool. So, moving on from latest releases, let's move on to the future here, and that's of course the Summer of Arcade. Now there's a couple of really exciting games in this lineup this year. You got Limbo, you got Castlevania, you got Hydro Thunder. You got Monday Night Combat and Lara Croft, and all of them are pretty stellar titles.
Summer of the Summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Summer of Arcade is starting with a big bang this year. It's Limbo. I'm actually writing the review for Limbo right now, and I could talk a little bit about some first impressions about Limbo.
Yeah, because you played this at PAX too, so.
Yeah, I played this at PAX. So I've already gotten past the levels that I played at PAX, so okay. I'm already seeing some more stuff. Damn, the game's good.
Wow. You're enjoying it.
Yeah, it's just raw gameplay. It's just raw, like, puzzle solving, platforming. There's no music. There's, like, hardly any graphics to, like, kind of distract you with. It's all about, you know, figuring out the puzzles in the gameplay. So if you're the type that, you know, likes puzzle games, or if you're the type that likes, you know, kind of wants a slower paced game, it's definitely good. And you could pick up and play it anytime, since it's auto saves pretty much after each obstacle. And from what I could tell, it seems like the entire game is just one long level. So it's definitely a nice, like, pick up and play, like, get through a few obstacles and put it down, save it, and then come back and play it again. And it really is just all about, you know, trying to get your wits about you and, like, you know, figuring out how to get through the next area. And there's a lot of, you know, and you're gonna die a lot in this game. Like, that, just like the first time I played through it, I must have died like 15 times.
Wow.
And I'm like really careful playing it, but it's like, it's one of those things where you don't know what to expect until it happens. So just that alone, like that whole trial and error type of thing.
Yeah.
It might not sound fun at first, but it's pretty fun trying to figure out the puzzles. And like, once you do get through the puzzles, you really do feel a sense of accomplishment.
So I mean, the gameplay is out very smart then. It really knows.
Yeah. You really feel like you're getting your money's worth here. I mean, it is on the higher end of prices. It is $15, but you're getting your money's worth. It's definitely a unique game, and you know, I would highly recommend it so far.
Okay, not bad. Yeah, I wanna give that a spin. I mean, I did look at it at PAX, and it definitely is like, it doesn't try to throw things at you, tries to, like, you know what I mean, like, put wool over your eyes with, like, you know what I mean, visuals here or whatever. It has a very simplistic look, but a very nice, you know what I mean, very nice look, and it's like, it's just trying to give you, yeah, gameplay.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And it's kind of refreshingly different, you know, taking this game and, you know, putting it apart from all the other things we got now.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. So, all right, I guess you'll have the review up soon.
Yes, I will.
And you'll have some choice words for that.
Oh, yeah. But moving down the list for Summer of Arcade. Yes. So let's see. So it looks like next week is going to be Hydro Thunder, I believe.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Hydro Thunder is next. Anyone looking forward to that game? I mean, and did anyone play like the original back in the day?
Well, I remember the original back in the day. I know Afro got to play it at E3, and he put his hands-on impressions of it. So, I mean, you looking forward to it?
Honestly, very much so. Like, considering as I look at this list, I feel like the games that came out for the Summer of Arcade last year easily crushed this list. But the one game that I'm looking forward to me, yeah. Last year, definitely.
What was last year?
Last year was Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Explosion Man, the Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That stunt race, the stunt bike thing. I forgot the name of it.
Trials.
Yeah.
You know, that. Yeah. Those games were crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I really do want to give Castlevania a spin. I'm not too big on Castlevania, but I want to check it out. But anyway, the Hydro Thunder, it basically plays like the original. I love the original. Like, I didn't play it actually on a console. I never have. I've always played it in arcades. Like, I love, like, it was like the whole chair and the whole feel of the boat. I remember my favorite boat was Banshee. But this game plays just like it. You have the nitro boost tanks. You have the blue ones that are scattered all about the stage, and then the hard to get to red ones, or the hard to find red ones, which gives you even more boost. course, the game is always filled with like secret passages. I'm really glad they're bringing this game back, because with the, I guess you can say, the fall of Midway Games, it's nice to see that there are other companies that were interested in the games that came out from them, and they're taking them and they're making it even better. So even though this is a summer of arcade game, like, I'm expecting pretty big things from it, or at least to relive, you know, my fun times at the arcade with it.
And it definitely looks, and overall it just looks like a decent, like, decent multiplayer game.
Oh yeah, it's not have like the whole, you know, leaderboards and everything, and it's you know, the stages look really good. I was able to play on two maps, but as of right now, the main one that I remember, of course, they always have like some tropical island type of place, and I think I remember it was like something, it was kind of like a raceway, like made for the hydroplanes or the hydro boats. But yeah, it was some type of raceway where like you had like the, like, it's kind of like the stadium seating or the open stadium seating, and like you were like, you know, racing through it. But it was really good, really good. If you had a good time with the first Hydro Thunder, you're going to have a good time with Hydro Thunder Hurricane. You're going to.
Okay. I saw stuff on it, and it was like it has a very nice polish to it, even for a game that's just an arcade game.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, at first glance, it almost looks like it could be like a full retail game, like a racing game. So, I mean, it definitely looks like it's going to be worth checking out.
Only one of its kind, too. Boat racing.
Yeah, boat racing.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, that looks pretty good.
All right, and so after Hydro Thunder, I believe, is going to be Castlevania.
Yes.
Now, this Castlevania, I believe it's going to be a little bit different than the one that was previously released for arcade, which was Symphony of the Night. I don't really know much about it, but, you know, obviously it's going to have that Castlevania appeal of, you know, exploring giant castles and et cetera. So, you know, if you like Castlevania, I'm sure you'll like this new one.
Yeah, I know. I know some people that are actually looking forward to this game. Actually, Kitango, that from Level One. But I don't know too much about the game in general. I guess as more, you know, what I mean, next week probably rolls in. You know, what I mean, I'll hear, and you know, what I mean, I'll look out for it myself. But yeah, I mean, I won't know too much until next week. So I do know it's supposed to be somewhat different than Symphony of the Night.
Was this the Harmony of Despair, I think, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it was called.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
I mean, hey, I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm not too big on Castlevania, but I'm definitely willing to give it a shot. Check it out. But wait, this is after Hydro Thunder, though, right?
Yeah, this is after
Hydro Thunder. Yeah, week after, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the week after Castlevania is going to be a pretty big title, Monday Night Combat. Remdog, I think you got some hands-on time with this game, so you want to talk about it?
Yeah, is Monday Night Combat coming out before Lara Croft, is it?
Yeah, Lara Croft is coming out the very last week. It's going to be the last game. Monday Night is the second.
I got some hands-on at PAX or whatever with this game, and it's definitely like, it uses the Unreal Engine, and it almost feels like Unreal Championships back in the Xbox days. So it's like Unreal Championship 2, if you played in third person with the weapons. I mean, it's not gonna, I don't know how many minds I'm catching right now as I'm saying this, but it's like that third person kind of action, you know what I mean, game, but it's like a sport, you know what I mean, they make it into a sports event. So there's a lot of, like, the graphics look really nice. You know what I mean? You set up in two teams, red versus blue. And I think there's different kinds of objective game types that you can play. But I'm looking out for this one because it's supposed to be like 12 or 16 players. And there's a lot going on or whatever. And it's team. It's not only team based, but it's class based. So you know what I mean. Each team has their classes where you can be. You know what I mean, a fast runner, a giant. You know what I mean, a bigger guy to hold off more. You know what I mean, opposing teammates trying to come after whatever the target is or the ball is or whatever. But yeah, it definitely looked like a lot of fun when I saw it. Like, and I played it. So I'm looking forward to this one for sure.
Nice. All right. Well, overall it does look like that's going to be the multiplayer game of the summer from what I could tell it. I mean, if you're saying what you're saying is true and it's going to be like Unreal Championship, there hasn't been too many games like it. So this might actually like turn some heads.
Yeah. It's they're gonna have to make the push for it, but if they do it right, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be like $15 too, or whatever. So we'll see, but it's definitely like holds its own for some of arcades. So this is it's a really big title.
All right. Well, and it looks like the last week of Summer of Arcade is also going to be a pretty big title, or at the very least, a big name attached to this title, which is Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. This is going to be a two-player co-op game, and it's going to be the gameplay is going to be in the same vein as games like Assault Heroes and Geometry Wars, where you know you walk around with the left joystick and the right joystick you use to shoot, and other buttons are to jump, use an item, interact with the environment, etc. Has anybody looked into this game extensively, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, one thing to notice, very different than any other Lara Croft game.
Well, yeah, that's almost like immediate. It's like kind of like an isometric view. It's not like, a third person action game.
Yeah. So already you're doing something different and you're playing it different. Two, it's like, I mean, it's downloadable, obviously. But the way they put the style into, it's very co-op. It's a very co-op game. I've seen a lot about it. I've seen a lot of it, and I even seen it at E3. And it's interesting. It's a lot more than just being a Geometry Wars over the top kind of shooter or whatever. It'll let you upgrade weapons. It'll let you use different types of weapons for different scenarios or whatever. Use team-based things to complete different tasks or enemies. So it actually tries to throw a good amount of things at you. So it's going to be a new spin on that kind of over-the-top, like the Geometry Wars kind of shooter. I'm definitely interested to see where the direction it actually goes when it comes out, how long it is and everything else.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, the Tomb Raider series has kind of been like on and off for a lot past few years, and this Lara Croft game, it definitely has a lot riding on its shoulders to, kind of keep the Lara Croft name, somewhat decent.
Wait, isn't this one two players?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We'll talk about the co-op experience about it and everything else. Yeah.
Let's hope, as a single player game, the AI assistance is helpful, and it's not like, Resident Evil 5.
So, yeah, that is true. Lord knows that had the best.
When she sprays you with a full can of first aid spray, and you just got hit once, and you just completely heals you up. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. No, thank you.
No, apparently if you're scared, your fear is like damaged, so she'll heal you for that too.
Yeah.
So now.
She also heals me if I stub my toe on like a branch. Yeah.
Not the smartest of characters. Or AI.
So, yeah, so Lara Croft and I don't even know the other guy's name, but God, I hope your AI is good.
For everyone's sake.
Yeah, I'm sure they thought of that though.
As they all should, but it doesn't always come out that way.
Yeah. But I mean, it seems like this title definitely has a lot of promise. You know, it's a different type of Lara Croft game. You know, they're saving it for the end of Summer of Arcades, so we'll see.
So that, yeah. So I mean, yeah, those are the Summer of Arcade games. What is interesting too is that they actually launched this little portal thing for the Xbox 360, which is called Destination Arcade. And that'll run through the summer. Surprisingly enough, I'm hearing things about that it might not be available after summer. I guess it only caters to Summer Arcade, but it looks like they put some work into it. I actually got a good glance of it and I went through it. And although it could use a little bit of polish, you could tell it's not a completely finished experience. It definitely has good ideas. Like you go through the newer sets of games, you go through a different sets of list of games, you can recommend a game to friends or whatever, you could see games like the game that you're looking at. So it's just a different way of looking at things, which I get with your avatar, I guess, next to it and everything else. But yeah, I guess with the Summer of Arcade stuff, it's like another push to kind of, you know what I mean, like that whole promotion of Summer of Arcades, which they do every
so,
year.
So do you think it'll eventually be a permanent thing? Like, you know, they'll just roll it out completely in the holidays or some shit like that, or what?
Not sure. I don't know if they'll maybe change it and that's what they're looking for. I mean, what's got to keep in mind is that they haven't really talked, if at all, mentioned anything about their summer to fall dashboard updates. So this was almost like the first piece of it, but this wasn't really talked about that much. It was just like, it's kind of just there. And it might kind of just disappear. So I don't know if this is going to be something that's of a bigger thought in the fall. So that's what they're waiting for. And I guess they're probably maybe testing it out. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it kind of just popped out of nowhere. Like, I just read it, like, online. Like, oh, by the way, there's this new thing, like, you know, with, Destination Arcade. And I was like, huh? What the hell is that?
Like, oh yeah, it's a new portal. But wait, it might not be available forever. So.
Yeah, you can download it if you want, but you know, you're only gonna use it for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it'll still work, but you know, I mean, if you didn't download it, no biggie.
Yeah, it's cool. We'll bring it back later, next summer.
Next summer. I don't know what their real plans are.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's a huge question mark. I don't know. They're probably just like testing shit out.
Said a lot of other things. I mean, if I want to make a quick mention about something before we start wrapping things up, 1 vs 100 is no more.
Oh yeah. Forgot about that.
It's shed a little tear, drop some malt liquor on the floor.
Yeah, it's done. That kind of hurts me a little bit because I actually had fun playing that game. Now, granted, I didn't play it probably as much as I should have to, like, you know, support it. I played it maybe like a good dozen times. And
yeah,
we
played it. Yeah,
we played it together, and like, you know, we would have fun just, you know, doing the, you know, these trivial questions and stuff.
Or asking our girlfriends or our sisters or whatever.
Yeah, for help, you know.
For help and answers.
Yeah, you know, if they say, you know, which of these is not a Sex in the City character, you know, I'm not gonna know that shit, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just like little things like that. So I thought it was fun, and I thought it was a good, you know, casual game. You know, just sit down and type of thing, but sorry to see it go.
Yeah, I mean, this was supposed to be the first of like many casual games to come. You know, I mean, they're gonna roll out different kinds of games. I was thinking I was gonna play, what was this thing? I don't even know the game with the cases. Why don't I remember this game now?
Oh, Deal or No Deal.
Deal or No Deal. Yeah, and that show is not on the air anymore, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so yeah, I thought I was going to be playing Deal or No Deal and stuff like that, but no, that's it. It went, it came with 1 vs. 100, it left with 1 vs. 100. But they did talk about how that technology would go into probably future things, and, you know what I mean, not stuff that's talked about now, but future, you know what I mean, things that'll probably be thought of later, which is why I mentioned that, because Destination arcades look like something probably that would be in a future scheme. So yeah.
That really sucks now that I'm really thinking about it. Oh well.
Yeah. Until the next thing that Microsoft, you know, I mean, we'll pour liquor on. I'm guessing the game room, but you know, it's
oh just, God, don't even talk to me about the game room. Yo, so, what the hell is up with that thing?
So
from afar, it looks pretty good. But once you get in it, it's like, what? Yeah. I have to pay for this?
It's like some women. It's like some women.
Yeah. It's crazy. I was disappointed by that. I was really disappointed. And then I thought it was going to be like, I guess like a hub or something where like, you know, all these other people can come in and you all can just play games or something, whatever. But nah, not like that at all. Just this big 3-level arcade just for you that you have to pay for. No thanks. No thanks.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know. There's a lot to be said about that game room, but
like to me, instead of that whole arcade what do you call it? The new downloadable thing? That's only gonna be Yeah. Instead of that, you could have just had the game room be suitable for the Xbox Live Arcade games. Now, if you want to design it to have a cabinet or anything like that, that's up to them. But they could have designed it. They could have had, like, let's say if, like when Final Fight came out for Xbox Live Arcade, they could have just, like, you know, had a cabinet and slapped on a sticker and, like, oh, you know, just like an extra thing for you to just interact with. That would make more sense than, you know, what the way that they're doing it right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's, what's funny is that, there's a dozen ways where they could have made this better. But, I mean, this looked like probably one of the easiest ways that a developer can make churn out an old game that they'd even blink about making a remake or whatever, make it the exact same game and try to, you know what I mean, make some money out of it. It kind of feels like what that is to me. And I'm not supporting that really. So I'm not really caring too much.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, Microsoft, you know, the Xbox Live, you know, the environment of Xbox Live is still, you know, relatively new, so they're experimenting with just different types of things. So that's what I take it as. They're just like, you know, seeing what works, what doesn't work in this, you know, online community.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I mean, that could be looked at it that way.
Yeah. Still, in the end, I'm sad to see 1 versus 100 go, but unfortunately, it's gone. And you know what? I think so are we in this podcast.
This podcast is officially wrapping up.
In fact, before we wrap up, I just want to say, so far, I just played that Transformers game, War of Cybertron.
Okay.
Yeah, and if no one has played the multiplayer demo, so you get a better understanding, it's really a good game. Cause I thought there was gonna be like no good games besides Hydro Thunder for the summer.
Yeah.
And this game really like opened up my eyes. Like even the whole single player, which is gonna be like, it can turn into a 3-player co-op. That's pretty good. The stages look kind of, you know, repetitious with a slight variance in the color scheme. But overall, you'll have a good time. The multiplayer gets frantic. But, you know, after the whole my problem with multiplayer is that when you start off, you know, you're level 0 in each of the classes. There are 4 classes. You're level 0, and then you're going against people that are, like, by now, they're, like, level 22, 25. They have everything unlocked off for their class. And, you know, here you come in with just a pistol, and they have, like, all these abilities. But then, you know, after you gain some levels, then you can hang in there with them. But for right now, I would say definitely pick up that game. Definitely pick up that game. I would recommend that you pick up that game.
I personally think that game is awesome. And yeah, like, you should definitely go out and play it. I mean, you should read our review, because we have a review on Transformers War on Cybertron. It has escalation mode, which is Horde in Gears of War. It has, I mean, 3-player co-op online, and it has a multiplayer, which resembles stuff like Gears of War, Halo, and Call of Duty abilities and everything else. A lot of fun to be had at that game. Great game.
It would definitely hold you over. Definitely, like, as you're building up the class, like your favorite classes, it will definitely hold you over to like whatever next set of big games that come out, like August, September, whatever the case may be. The game definitely holds you over. It's a really solid game. It's honestly, I would believe it's the best Transformers game that's been released, I dare say.
Yeah, no,
that's a very bold statement.
I don't think it's that bold.
Because there's a lot of competitors out there.
As far as Transformers go, like, you can't really recall too many good Transformer games.
No, this is the best, to me, the best Transformers game. Stays so true to the series, which is ridiculous. And, I mean, downloadable content is rolling out next week as we speak, so you get your fill in now. You're gonna like it so much, you'll want that DLC. Leave you me.
All right.
It's gonna add some new characters and everything.
All right. So, a quick recommendation for War for Cybertron there.
Yeah.
All right, well, if that's it, I guess we're signing off.
Yep, be sure to follow us at Twitter at level one, I should say, LVLONE. Follow us on Facebook too. Same thing, LVLONE. And take a look at our stories. Let us know what you think, comment, get stuff going.
Awesome. All right, with that being said, my name is Turk. I'm signing off.
Afro, check out later.
All right, this is Rem Dog. Peace out, peoples.
Bye.